Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the function of fasting as a form of instant gratification being unnoticed in today's worldview. In this show, we will discuss some of the benefits of sowing to the spirit and absent from the flesh. Listen as Swami explains the science of like attracts like by using indulgence to eliminate abstinence. Can't beat them, join them. Spirit is a dissolving influence and translates everything back into itself. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and indulge in the omnipresent spirit. So Swami, the title of today's show is Feast on Spirit to Fast from the Senses. And I'm kind of hoping that we can start off first by just breaking down the title of the show. Let's start with Feast on Spirit.
Yeah, I think coming from a background in athletics where offense was our best defense, and I found that a lot of scriptures and a lot of metaphysical and mystical systems, they really talk about purification. And what that usually implies is that we need to abstain from a lot of the things that most of us think are good. But what I found was the minute that you try and give up something that you have internalized as valuable to you on any level, that it became very difficult to give it up. But what I did find was that just like in athletics, offense is your best defense, that the easiest way to get out from any unnecessary dependency is to substitute. But the secret of substitution is to substitute the necessary for the unnecessary. If you understand that in truth, the only necessary dependency that we have is with spirit, that spirit is life itself, and it's the only life. If we can internalize spirit as the symbol that we use to validate ourselves, then we're no longer abstaining. All you're doing is substituting. You're substituting what it is that is really important to you for all the unnecessary stuff that we have conditioned ourselves to believe that we think we need them.
So when we're talking about the phrase feast on spirit, what does that look like to you?
For me, I always refer back to, I'll never forget one time I was doing a teaching an asana class, and there were a couple of people in the class and they were whispering and talking. And when I walked into the room, they looked up and had this kind of cat that ate the canary look on their face and said, Kenny, you got to live a little. And I looked at them and I said, live a little? What do you mean? What are you talking about? They said, we're talking about ice cream. And I said, oh, right, because I don't eat ice cream. And they said, yes. And so I said, but you see, what you do is you do live a little. What I do is I live a lot. And as I started to break it down, I said that, how much ice cream can you eat? My experience has always been with it that the minute you have a dish, you can have another. And if you have another, you can have another. And so you're plugged into this insatiable craving driven by this blind need for validation. And so you're in the trap. Whereas if you can replace or substitute your dependency upon ice cream to produce the feeling that you're happy, you're special, that you're good enough, because we really don't want ice cream, we just want to know that we're good enough. And so by purging yourself of these unnecessary dependencies and at the same time replacing it with what is necessary, because that's what yoga is, it's union with the divine. Now you internalize what you really do need. Because if you internalize something other than spirit, then you're in the trap, whether it's visible and tangible or it's invisible and tangible. It's still going to produce the belief in two powers. It's still going to put you under the law of karma. In order to find liberation from this cycle of death and rebirth, this belief in two powers, we have to purify ourselves of these unnecessary dependencies and then internalize the right symbol. Internalize spirit. The invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. And then if you really think about it, the two things that we do the most, one is breathing and the other is thinking. And they're directly related. The duration of a thought equals the duration of a breath. And so in pranayama, we know that by controlling our breathing, we can control our rate of thinking. It doesn't control the content of your thought. And so that's what we're talking about here. Feasting on spirit. Internalizing what is invisible and intangible, but what is associated with that symbol is your peak experience feeling. And when we do that, then no matter where you are reinforcing the feeling that I'm happy, I'm special, I'm good enough because I have exactly what it is that I genuinely need.
Now, I did go on to the Bible app and I put in the words feast and spirit, you know, for the search, and there were pages upon pages where feast and spirit are together in Bible verses. But I have a feeling that feast doesn't necessarily just mean sitting down and having dinner. I think it's more about what you're talking about is when they're having feasts in the Bible, they are feasting themselves on spirit. Would that be a correct assumption there?
Yeah, and that's what we upgraded the term to indulgence, that we always equate indulgence with something glamorous or regal. Just to give our corporeal senses a certain sense of satisfaction, we work with the language. But in reality, you really want to adhere to what the Christians called love God or what the Buddhists called desire nothing. That you want to internalize the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence as your symbol for validation. And when we do that, matter and mind come together with new information, that you're out of duality. And duality, like we said, originates from a belief in two powers. You're in a divided consciousness, and you're separate from the source. Whereas if you can separate yourself from the divided consciousness and then reconnect, the term religion means to relink, yoga means yoke or union, with the divine creation, then the panel is wired.
The second part of our title says fast from the senses. So I think you had touched upon that a few minutes ago. So if we're fasting from the senses, we want to try not to desire something or someone or something in the material world. Would that be a good definition?
The main reason why we need to fast from the senses is because the senses function on duality. That you can't have awareness for spirit through your corporeal senses. And by us starving our corporeal senses, it makes the invisible, intangible, divine creation available to us. And the Bible says you can't serve two masters. They talk about a fountain, that out of a fountain you can't have sweet water and bitter water coming out of the same faucet. The same is true here, that we can't be indulging ourselves on a sense level and have attention for the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. You're at the spiritual fountain at that point. As you hold your attention on that, you watch, you listen, you wait. And as that spiritual awareness begins to dawn on you, then you begin to see the truth. And as this truth is revealed to you, then you start to understand what we have been calling life isn't life at all, that it is a false sense of existence. That's how you can generate what's called an instantaneous healing, because you're not changing anything on a corporeal sense level. All you're doing is you're changing your thought about the divine creation. Because the divine creation is the only thing that is real, the only thing that is self-existent. Everything else relies on is our belief in it to give it the appearance of existence, but it's not real. And so we want to fast from the senses, but at the same time to affirm this spiritual truth of being.
So in the summary, we said discussing some of the benefits of sowing to the spirit and absent from the flesh. I think this is what you're just talking about. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. If we can keep our awareness in relation to the divine image, then we can improve the visible image. And also we can have a big effect on the invisible but tangible mental image. And using that divine image to correct your thought will begin to outpicture and improve what we are experiencing in the external world on a corporeal sense level.
I know in the yoga classes used to always say, indulge yourself in this intangible life force.
Right. And unless you have internalize spirit as your symbol for validation, then you're struggling with it because you don't have what we call in yoga purity. And purity is your ability to think, feel, say, and do one and the same thing. And if you are saying one thing, but you are longing for something visible and tangible, then that creates an interference pattern and it won't outpicture this pure consciousness that we need to really make our consciousness a hospitable environment to invite it into.
Well, I do think we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, you had said earlier that the divine creation is right here and right now. Why is it that we may not even be aware of it?
Like I had said, it doesn't report in our five senses. If we don't come out of those modes of mortal thought, then we primarily are completely unaware of it. The biggest obstruction to divine knowing is really when we think we're conscious of divine mind, but there's no kingdom of heaven appearing in our experiences, what we in yoga call avidya, ignorance. We can't be thinking of this world and conscious of the divine creation at the same time, because the divine creation doesn't report in the corporeal sense mind, mortal mind. I really like what Herb Fitch said in Fourth Dimension Series, Session 9A. I'll quote, "The healing consciousness is not just to heal a backache. It's to glorify the Father in you in every possible way. And really, if you cannot develop a healing consciousness, then Jesus was not teaching the truth, because he said that if you learn his identity, which is the meaning of if you believe on me, if you learn his identity, the very miracles that were attributed to him on earth, you would do. Each of us should have this, not as our only goal, but we should never be satisfied until the healing grace is part of our being. And the reason for that is because although we suspect that we know truth, until you find yourself able to demonstrate the truth you know, you might as well face it, you don't really know it. And healing, therefore, becomes the way in which you prove to yourself that you know what you think you know. That's the only reason for healing on the spiritual path. And you'll find that within you is the capacity. It isn't reserved for what is called a practitioner. It is your natural dispensation by virtue of being a joint heir in Christ." That's the end of the quote. If what we're experiencing in our external or on a corporeal sense level of awareness doesn't have the divine qualities, we're dealing with sin, sickness, suffering, death, lack, limitation on any level. Like you say, why aren't we conscious of this divine creation which is right here, right now? We're trying to find truth by thinking about it. We're trying to use a mind that can't access this truth of being. And so what we're talking about here is fasting from the corporeal senses, but at the same time, indulging ourselves with spiritual sense. But then how do I know what I'm calling spirit is spirit? Because if you can't, and I really come back to what Mary Baker Eddy said, live above corporeal sense and correct it. The mind of Christ, exercises dominion over corporeal sense. Unless you can say what Mary Baker Eddy said in one of her writings, can you say to the proud wave no further and it stops? Can you say, let there be light and there's light? Because if we're not working with this divine mind and we're working with a human corporeal five sense mind instead, it won't demonstrate. And what we really have to do at this point is what the Bible says, repent, think differently. Things like fasting, and especially what we're talking about here, fasting from corporeal sense is a method of inducing the spiritual experience. And feasting on spirit is a method of prolonging that fast to induce that spiritual experience for a longer period of time. Again, coming back to what Christians called love God, or the Buddhists called desire nothing, that the physics of spirituality is like attracts like. It must be a shift in awareness from mental, material, to spiritual, and then proven on the sense level of awareness, which means that what is physical, visible and tangible, or mental, invisible and tangible, must be corrected by this divine presence. And then it must reveal itself on a sense level as what we would call a healing.
I had also researched on the Bible app the word fast, and it came up quite a few times with the phrase hold fast. And then I did a little bit more research on that. Hold fast means try to eliminate everything else in your consciousness but God and spirit. So you're holding fast to spirit. And I thought that that was an interesting term, because people think fasting is to just do away with, like they say, like not eating. But holding fast means to hold your attention to God.
Yeah. And again, we have to understand that if we don't know God aright, if I'm using some image in my mind, in corporeal imagination, mortal imagination, and I'm not working with the living God, the invisible, intangible, divine creation, then I'm still working on a dualistic level, and it won't have the power that it does when we internalize the right image. Again, the physics of spirituality is like attracts like. We can't just do this academically. We have to come out of thinking and believing. The Bible uses the term knowing. We have to know the truth. And knowing really implies that we've graduated from our corporeal senses to our spiritual senses. Spirit knows spirit. Like attracts like. As we begin to experience these changes, as our identity starts to shift, like Herb Fitch says, Jesus performed his miracles, and then he said, if you believe on me, which he interpreted to mean, learn his identity, that we have to accept ourselves as spirit. We have to identify with ourselves in the way that we're known by the Creator in order to lift our consciousness to that level of understanding where our thought is the same as the divine idea, the divine creation. Then we can begin to correct our thought and externalize completely different experiences, because the physical world, the world of form, is just our thought or thought made visible.
Well, we have a sentence in the summary that I think we may want to break down for our listeners, and that is, spirit is a dissolving influence and translates everything back into itself. So can we talk about what it means to be a dissolving influence?
To help us understand oneness on a rational level, in physics, there are three forces, and we also use this in astrology. There is a creating force, a sustaining force, and a dissolving force. A lot of us oftentimes think that spirit is a creating force, that spirit creates. But whatever is created then is usually governed by a sustaining force, instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. And the dissolving force is the one that is breaking down the barriers. It's breaking down the distinctions that come with creating. In order for something to manifest, it must split from unity. It manifests in half and then leaves behind the complementary, unmanifested other part. And spirit, being whole, being one, in that realm, there is no separation. There's no contrast. There's no conflict at that level. And so spirit is that force that is breaking everything down, returning it back or translating it back into the one.
So I think that's just another way of saying truth and what truth is. And I like what you said, what Herb said, is that we suspect that we know the truth, but if you're not able to demonstrate the truth, you might as well face it, you don't really know it. So the truth is what you were just talking about. Spirit is one. Spirit is all.
Right. And what's reporting in our five senses oftentimes is not in agreement with the divine creative specifications. In Genesis 1, God created everything, and everything is very good, which means that God didn't create sin, sickness, suffering, death. These are things that most of us are experiencing. And the reason that we're experiencing it is because we're unconscious to the divine creation. And once we start to realize that we have to fast from corporeal sense, and then we have to affirm and start to develop belief and faith in this divine creation, which is invisible and intangible. And when you're first starting out, you are working with just the Word of God. You're working with the Scripture, and it's telling you that it's perfect, it's whole, it's complete. But what's appearing in your senses isn't externalizing those qualities. And then we're taught that if you know the truth, it will make you free. If you know the truth, you will start to reveal this divine creation. And so demonstration becomes fundamental but critical in being able to prove the presence of God. And like we say, if we're not, then you have to either say that, well, there is no God, or God's creation isn't perfect, or that God created good and evil, which is the direction that religion has taken. But what I'm starting to learn is that if you have fidelity to this divine creation, that it will correct your thought and it will start to outpicture a completely different external experience. And once it starts to reveal itself and you can start to prove it with a certain degree of scientific certainty, you no longer believe in it, that you understand it, that it is a principle, it is a law, and it's just as dependable as 2 + 2 = 4.
Well, it is that time we have to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're on the homepage and you see the fading banner and it says Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that. That directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. Also, by clicking on the Products tab and then Online Classes, that directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So with that, Swami, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and indulge in the omnipresent spirit. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.